Micaela, could you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Micaela Lara Cadena, and I'm so proud to be the Democratic nominee for the House District 33 seat here in southern New Mexico. I grew up in Mesilla. My family has been in this valley for generations, and it means the world to me to be raising my daughters in the community that raised me. My background is in policy, basically. I'm a policy nerd, and I've been able and honored to work in New Mexico's legislature for about 10 years, doing issue-based advocacy. Then in state government, I was the Bureau Chief of Recidivism Reduction at the Corrections Department. So I oversaw the programming, all the academic, educational, and cognitive programming at New Mexico's 11 prisons. And then I got to work as a staff analyst for our House Majority Whip, Doreen Gallegos.
Could you tell us why you are running for the State House?
Yeah, so I've been doing behind-the-scenes work for about a decade, and I loved it. I was able to impact important decisions that would show up in the lives of our families for decades to come. I was able to be smart, to make good connections, make things happen in Santa Fe. But in these political times and in this moment, I thought about what it meant to me as a woman in our state, as a mom, as someone invested in the future of our generations to come, that I realized with this seat opening, and I'm grateful for the leadership Bill McCamley held in this office for many years, that with this seat opening, I wanted to represent my New Mexican values and my values that came from here in Mesilla and the Mesilla Valley in Santa Fe.
What do you feel are the most pressing issues in your district and across the state?
Yeah, so District 33, and I like to brag a little bit, I think is one of the most fascinating districts in New Mexico. We have thousands of acres of agricultural land on the west side of the district, mostly in pecans. We have and are home to most of New Mexico State University, our land-grant institution. And that means a lot to be able to, within our boundaries of the district, have this incredible place where people learn and push and innovate. We also have a good chunk of the southern part of Las Cruces. And then we have the historical communities of Tortuga, San Pablo, and Mesilla. So in this district, people have lots going on in their families, and they want to make sure they have someone ready to fight for them on day one. One of the things I heard a lot about was safety. People are very worried about what it means to prevent gun violence and making sure we have the right kind of voices and leadership ready to do that in Santa Fe. And people in the long run and immediately are also talking about what it would look like to fix our schools, to make sure that everybody in our families, my kids, people's grandkids, and their loved ones have a shot at opportunity to be what they want in this world.
So if elected as state representative, how do you feel that you can make a difference in addressing these issues?
So I think, and because I've had experience in different ways, I know there's some things that can be fixed in a concrete, pragmatic way and pretty quickly. I think for preventing gun violence, there's things we need to address in the upcoming 60-day session in 2019. I believe that I can be part of good votes to make sure that we bring to New Mexico the background checks for gun shows, but really importantly, now many firearms are purchased over the internet. So I also am committed to making sure in this session in 2019, we close that loophole so that if you're buying a gun or firearm over the internet, through internet sales, you also have the federal standards and the background check in place. In education, that is a much longer conversation. I'm grateful our courts here in New Mexico, our district courts, ruled that we have not provided sufficient education across New Mexico and to some of our most vulnerable children. So I think an incredible lift of the legislature this session and for years to come is to figure out how we get the right revenue streams in place and potentially looking at tax reform as part of doing that to make sure that we can fund education appropriately and at the levels needed to address a lot of our historical inequities in New Mexico.
And you kind of touched on this a little bit. One of the things recently that made the news was that New Mexico was ranked last in the country for child well-being from a report from the NEKC Foundation's 2018 Kids Count data book. What do you think policymakers, state representatives like yourself, if you're elected, mm-hmm. should do to really make a difference in this so that the state doesn't rank last?
Yeah, well, I'm proud and want to give a shout out to New Mexico Voices for Children because they do a lot of the state-based research that feeds the data here that frankly tells us a pretty terrifying story about what's happening with New Mexico's kids in in our communities across our rural and frontier state. What's real and what data shows is that if you invest in kids early, in early childhood ed and other early interventions, you can set them up for a different lifetime of opportunities and safety and stability. So I do believe that it's clearly evidence, it's in evidence now and demonstrated that we have to find the money for early childhood ed. We have to make sure we have a plan in place to spend those resources. And we have to make sure that if a family wants their kid in these kind of programming, then this kind of programming that they have an opportunity to enroll them. So I think early childhood is a big deal. Outside of what happens in the classroom, we have to understand that kids' lives are impacted by social determinants of health. It's a public health concept that says it matters what neighborhood you grow up in, whether your community is safe, whether you have access to health care. So we have to keep paying attention to making sure that Medicaid and CHIP programs work for our family, making sure that kids have room to eat healthy food, not be hungry when they show up in the classroom. So I think we have to pay attention to what's happening once kids get to school, but also make sure that the families are resourced for a potential life that has safety and stability outside of school too.
You mentioned education a little bit earlier, but do you have any other thoughts about education and how you plan on addressing that issue if elected?
Yeah, one of the first things I think we need to do is address the teacher evaluations that were set up during this administration through the Public Education Department.
How do you feel about that?
I think, of course, like in any realm of the world, we have to make sure there's transparency and accountability when people show up to do their jobs. But I think this evaluation system based too much on test scores, so we're also over-testing our kids. And I think we also made connections that were unhealthy for teachers and don't lead to good outcomes. So we got to make sure that teachers have room to be in the classroom, be connecting with kids, and meeting the risks and needs of our most vulnerable students. When evaluations are tied to test scores, that means that teachers may be more reluctant to show up in the classrooms that they know best. If we need incredible teachers that are going to be connecting to and educating some of the kids that may have behavioral issues or may be coming to school hungry or may be struggling in other ways, we need teachers to be able to show up as their best selves in those classrooms with those kids and not just concerned about what's going to happen with poor evaluations if they take on New Mexico's students that may be more vulnerable.
Let's move on and talk about healthcare in New Mexico. Nearly 1 million people are on Medicaid. I'd like to hear your thoughts on how you feel the state needs to address healthcare and what you feel the state can do to be prepared for any changes at the national level.
Absolutely. So one of the things that's real is that when our governor, and I appreciate that Governor Martinez did move in New Mexico to allow Medicaid expansion, that was a really good thing for New Mexico. And we were one of the states that benefited the most in this country by Medicaid expansion. And we had hundreds of thousands of New Mexicans actually get healthcare coverage that they desperately needed. In the long run, and when we think about economics, job creation, the productivity of our communities, we need a healthy workforce. We need people that can take care of themselves, take care of their kids, and actually show up for work, be strong parents that they want to be, and all that. So what's real is that with changes potentially looming in the federal way, or because Medicaid expansion always had a drop in the federal dollars that were going to come back to New Mexico, we need to be ready for healthcare costs that are going to continue to grow and grow. And healthcare costs have exploded around the country. There's been different attempts to stabilize those markets, but we still see them rising. What's important to me, and when I've talked to voters in this district and done healthcare policy work across New Mexico, I know that in many of our communities, we're facing provider shortages. At the same time, healthcare jobs are some of the fastest growing industries in the country. So I think in New Mexico, we got to do better to make sure that we have the right kind of programs, degree programs, associate degrees on occasion, so that New Mexicans who are looking for work, want meaningful careers, can get these jobs and be ready to show up for our families, especially in rural and frontier New Mexico.
You touched on this a little bit, the lack of providers in the area for healthcare. I'd like to hear your thoughts on behavioral healthcare in our area, in the state. Obviously, the lack of providers has been an issue. What are some more things that you think that the state can do to address this issue? Also, if you can talk about what the state can do to address substance abuse and opioid addiction.
So what we know to be real in our families, with our loved ones, for ourselves, is that when this current governor eliminated our behavioral health network in New Mexico, that was a devastating blow for many of us. And I know from my own lived experiences and expertise that it can sometimes take years to develop a trusting relationship with providers that are going to be important to your family and getting the access to the mental and behavioral health care you may need. We still have a lot of work to rebuild those foundations of a system that connects people to care. So like we've said, there's provider shortages. We also need to be looking at Medicaid reimbursement rates to make sure that we can actually pay providers rates that are fair and that will bring them to our communities and keep them here when they get here. So I think in the long run, like we said, there is a cost to providing healthcare, and we need to look closely at what those rates are to make sure that we can get good people to show up for our families. In Las Cruces, of course, we've talked a lot about this crisis triage center that might show up one day. I'm so grateful to the incredible work that's happened at the county to get us this far. And I know that in many ways, the behavioral health care shakeup also has delayed that process because they need providers in town to be able to staff that triage center. But on behalf of my position, should I win in November, I hope to lend leverage and resource to the work already happening in the county and in our area to make sure that we can advance these commitments and priorities of Las Cruces.
2 years ago, the price of oil and gas fell dramatically, impacting the industry and, of course, revenue coming into the state. What are your thoughts on how the state depends on the oil and gas industry as a major revenue source?
So what's real in New Mexico today is that oil and gas is our revenue source. It's where we've been for decades, and it means that our economy is incredibly volatile because as oil and gas prices rise and drop, so does our revenue stream. And that has been really hard for systems like education in New Mexico, when there's school districts across the state that spend their money smartly, have plans to provide education to their students, and then in the middle of the year get money swept back when the legislature runs out of funds. And that's just, it can't happen anymore. And I appreciate and honor that this has been a big part of our budget for a long time, but I do think we need to begin serious conversations about how we transition to more sustainable economies that bring more stability into our state. I think what's real is that in these coming years, we're gonna have serious conversations about tax reform and figuring out how to stabilize New Mexico's taxes so that we can have a more reliable revenue stream that we gotta support New Mexico on.
I'd like to move on and talk about something you brought up earlier, public safety. New Mexico has had challenges with violent crime and, of course, property crime in recent years. How do you feel the state can address this issue?
One of the things that's important to me, and in my professional background, I've worked a lot at the intersections of New Mexico's healthcare systems and criminal justice systems. And what I know to be real is that so many in our families and communities are struggling with substance use disorders. And what's happening by default is that we don't have the right kind of prevention mechanisms in place or the right kind of resources for potentially supporting someone in recovery and treatment. And usually we're bumping into people with substance use disorders and other mental illnesses when they become part of criminal activity. And for better, for worse, I imagine now in New Mexico, it's commonly understood that our state prison system is by default our state mental health hospital. And it shouldn't be that way. So long term, I believe that if we do better to address the trauma in New Mexico families and do better to address what's happening with substance use and actually get people the health care they need and opportunity to be in treatment in a way that works for them and for their life, then we're actually going to see a drop in our criminal activity in New Mexico as well. It's pretty well documented and understood for women in New Mexico's criminal justice system that the great majority of them are survivors of trauma, usually as kids. So someone has hurt them, someone has beat them, someone has neglected them, and eventually this has become their escape. It's been how they can numb themselves. It's been how they can erase the hurt for a little bit. And instead of caring better for families that are in these intergenerational cycles of substance use, violence, trauma, and incarceration, we keep locking people up and expecting something different. For me, that's a big piece of it, is that we have to do more to provide programming and resources in New Mexico. What's real is that to date, there's not a place that a mom can go with her kids to get into treatment. And that's terrifying. We expect people to do different. We expect them to clean up, but we don't literally have places for them to go to get that kind of care. There's also going to be other criminal activity that's not related to drugs or substance use. And I think if we have different kind of approaches, like the public health approach here, then we can send the right kind of efforts, forces, and investigators potentially to pay better attention to what's happening in other criminal industries in New Mexico.
We were just about running out of time, but I just like to leave with one question. Why should people vote for you?
I'm proud so far that I won a contested primary in June. I got to connect to voters across this district, and I again ask people for their support and their vote in November. I'm going to be accessible. I'm going to be accountable. I love to get into debate and conversation. So if people are willing to share with me what matters to their families, I'd love to learn from them and hear from them about what they know to be true and what ideas they have for our district and the state.
Micaela, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Anthony.